So we continue this week in the Ish Kodesh and Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah says, "Vayikach Sefer Habris vayikra be'aznei ha'om vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma." So the Torah over here quotes the pasuk that says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the Sefer Habris, took the Torah, he read it out loud to Klal Yisrael. And he said, and they said, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we will do and we will listen. So of course, again, this is the famous statement of Na'aseh L'Nishma, the famous statement of Klal Yisrael's blind faith, obedience in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe says as follows, Hinei Na'aseh V'Nishma Kodem Kabbalas HaTorah. Now we know that the greatness of that statement, Na'aseh V'Nishma, is that Klal Yisrael said it even before we received the Torah. They said it on the front end of the Sinaitic revelation. The Gamrashi Perish B'Chumish Shekoda Matan Torah Haisa. Rashi also explains that, in fact, again, it was before Matan Torah. V'Novin Na Lama Nichtav La'achar Kabbalas HaTorah. So the obvious question becomes, so why is it written here? If indeed this dramatic statement of Na'aseh V'Nishma was said before Matan Torah, why is it written after Matan Torah? V'hagam shein muktam u'mu'uchar b'Torah. Even though, again, we subscribe to the concept that the Torah doesn't have to follow a chronological order, mikol makom betach b'chol makom ramaz nirmaz. V'alo Rashi perish save. So the idea is, okay, even if you want to say it's not a chronological order, but there still has to be a reason why the Torah purposely puts it out of chronological order. What is the message? What is the idea? What is the Torah trying to convey to us? To take it a step further, remember again, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the Sefer HaBris, the Book of the Covenant. And Rashi says, what's the Book of the Covenant? It's the Torah written from Bereshis up until Matan Torah. So literally from Bereshis up until the point that they were standing. Moshe Rabbeinu reads that section of the Torah to them, and then they go out and they say Na'aseh V'Nishma. Furthermore, Uma'in Hakdomas Na'aseh V'Nishma Alzeh. So the Rebbe really is asking two questions. Well, it's really one question with two parts. Number one, if Na'aseh V'Nishma was indeed said prior to Matan Torah, then why not put it there? Why do you have to go ahead and put it chronologically, meaning at least textually, after Sinaitic revelation? That's number one. Number two, Rashi seems to indicate that somehow the Na'aseh V'Nishma was a reaction to Moshe Rabbeinu reading the entire Torah from Bereshis up until Sinaitic revelation to Klal Yisrael. So the question becomes, what is the deeper meaning, ultimately, again, in that statement? So the Rebbe says something very interesting. Hein Tzrichin Lomar. So the Rebbe says, we have to explain. Na'aseh V'Nishma Amra Kol Dibur Mekabal Star Shamar La Hashem Aydi Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea is Na'aseh V'Nishma really goes on the Torah in its entirety. Na'aseh V'Nishma is the acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, including that which Klal Yisrael know, that which they didn't know. Rak Achar Shekar Lahem Moshe Rabbeinu Mebreishis Anu HaKol Kabbalas HaTorah Na'aseh V'Nishma. Tzarch lahavin lama dafka mibreishis anu lama dafka kishkar la mibreishis anu es kol haTorah anu al kol haTorah Na'aseh V'Nishma. So the Rebbe restates the question. So again, remember, if Rashi's understanding vayikach sefer habris, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Book of the Covenant and he read it before Klal Yisrael, that Book of the Covenant was from Bereishis up until Sinaitic revelation. Moshe read them that section. So if you can imagine, from Parashas Bereishis up until Parshas Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu reads this to them, and to that they said Na'aseh V'Nishma. So the Shaila, of course, is number one, why is the Torah placing it here? But really, primary question number two is, what is it about the reading of Bereshis until Yisro that caused Klal Yisrael to say Na'aseh V'Nishma? So the Rebbe says something very beautiful. This is Ve'efsher, ki maskanas atosus b'mesach ha-shavis, shala kabbala in ha-tshuva shalmodor rabba l'oraisa. So remember, again, he's quoting over here the Gemara Mesech HaShabbos, and the Gemara explains that the fact that there was an element of compulsion for Klal Yisrael, remember again, we discussed this in the past, that the pasuk says, Vayisatsu Yisrael b'tach tisahar, which literally means Klal Yisrael camped at the base of the mountain, but literal translation means underneath the mountain. So Rashi points out over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up the mountain, kafa aleim har kigigis, and he suspended the mountain over them like a barrel, and essentially compelled them to accept the Torah. And the question is obvious, which is, so the Gemara says, from here you see that Klal Yisrael has a modor rab. Modor rab means like a good excuse. That if Klal Yisrael does not listen to the tenets of the Torah, they always have an excuse. What's the excuse? We accepted it under duress. Boshem, we held the mountain over our head. We had no choice. This wasn't like an informed consent type thing. We had no choice but to go and accept the Torah. And as such, again, we And as such, we have an out, so to speak. We have an excuse when we mess up. So Tosis points out that the excuse, so to speak, or the get out of jail free card, so to speak, is only a din on kiyum, meaning on Kabbalah, on the acceptance of Torah, we had already accepted Torah, naseh v'nishma. It's on the performance of the mitzvos that ultimately we have this excuse. You know, we didn't really know what we were getting into, we didn't know all of the information, you forced us, so ultimately, again, we see this distinction between the Kabbalah and between the kiyum. The Kabbalah was made willingly. The kiyum, the ability to uphold, that's where Klal Yisrael has their moda'a rabba. That's where they have their excuse, they're out. He says, Ve'ef shalomar, shalachin hikdimu na'asa l'nishma. So perhaps, says Rebbe, this is why Klal Yisrael put na'asa before nishma. Why? Lomar, sha'af al ha'asiyah te'lanu tshuva shalmoda'a rabba l'oraisa mikomakom na'asa. Even if we have an excuse when it comes to kiyum, even if we have an excuse when it comes ultimately again to the fulfillment of the mitzvos, even if we have an excuse when it comes to our kiyum, to our fulfillment, because again, you suspended the mountain overhead, you threatened us, nevertheless, na'asa v'nishma. Even though we have an out, we still commit ourselves ultimately again, not just to the Kabbalah, not just to the acceptance of the Torah, but to the kiyum of the Torah, meaning na'asa, we will fulfill, is a statement that relates to the kiyum, the fulfillment of the Torah. See, even though again we have an out, we have an excuse, we accepted it under duress, nevertheless, we still commit ourselves. So interestingly enough, from where did Klal Yisrael know that there was going to be an element of compulsion associated with Kabbalah Satorah, even before God held the mountain over their heads? So this is amazing. He says, Kevan shekara Moshe Rabbeinu lefneim mibereishis ma'asa avos v'akrisos bris imoim az yadu sha'al karcham yikablu v'yichape osam kimo sha'amar ha'pasuk v'tachas ki ahav es avosecha v'ivchar b'zaru acharav v'otziacha b'fanav b'koach gadol mimitzrayim. So says there was something amazing. When did Klal Yisrael realize there was going to be an element of compulsion? After Moshe Rabbeinu read to them Bereishis. Because what is Bereishis filled with? Bereishis is filled with the covenant between Klal Yisrael and the Avos. To each of the Avos, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises, your children are going to get the Torah, your children are going to be in Eretz Yisrael, your children are going to be a chosen nation. So Klal Yisrael, when they hear all of this, they realize that at the end of the day, it's almost as if their agreement, not as insignificant, or not essential, but at the end of the day, they're committed. And they're committed because as the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they are part of an ongoing covenant. That's why the Rebbe says over here something amazing, that it was after Moshe Rabbeinu reads them from Bereishis until Yisro, that they say, Na'asa v'nishma. What's the deeper meaning of this? Ribono shel Olam, we know that there is an element of this Kabbalah Satorah that is under duress. So the duress we normally assume that we're talking about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspending the mountain over their head. The Rebbe says, no, there's another element of duress, well, called historical duress. And that historical duress is that after Moshe Rabbeinu taught them from the beginning of Bereishis, all the way through Parshas Yisro, they realize that there have been covenants, there have been promises, there have been written, there have been agreements that are made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Avos. And by definition, they are the actualization of those covenants. And as such, they don't really have a choice. But I said, maybe that's the excuse, that's their out. We took it under duress, even though we're taking it under duress, even though we're committed, na'aseh v'nishma. We agree to honor that commitment. The na'aseh ultimately refers to the kiyum ha-mitzvos, the fulfillment of the mitzvos, versus the nishma, which refers to the kabbalas ha-mitzvos. Of course we accept it, but not only that, even though the kiyum, the fulfillment, is going to be leveraged upon us through under duress, we still accept it with an open heart. We still accept it willingly. L'kach, l'chein, kol inyan ha'kdamas na'asa l'nishma ne'emar achar kabbalas ha-torah, l'remez she'ikar kavanes Yisrael she'ikdimu na'asa l'nishma ha'isu she'gam achar ha-kabbalah kishiyavo l'kaima gam kin yikaimu av she'tiyah lehem tshuva. Therefore, again, we understand why na'asa l'nishma now comes after Kabbalah Satorah. The idea is because there was a certain element that Kabbalah Satorah was a fait accompli. Kabbalah Satorah had to happen because at the end of the day, this was the actualization of the earliest promises of our peoplehood made to Avram Avinu. And the people realized this. they realized that at the end of the day, they were part of the promise made from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu, and as such, there wasn't so much choice. It was under duress. But what does Klal Yisrael do? After the entire Kabbalah Satorah, Klal Yisrael still says, Na'aseh v'nishma. Even though we have to accept it, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we just want you to know, we want to accept it. So this is actually quite dramatically amazing. Because what the Rebbe is suggesting is, even though we normally assume that Na'aseh v'nishma comes before Kabbalah Satorah, it could be that the greater chiddush, the greater novelty, is if Kabbalah Satorah, if Na'aseh v'nishma actually comes after Kabbalah Satorah. Because again, remember, once Moshe Rabbeinu read them from Bereshis, and they understand that they are part of an ongoing covenant. So remember again, Kabbalah Satorah was a necessary, almost, there was no shaila about it. Of course it was going to happen. And despite that there was an element of quote-unquote duress, Klal Yisrael had to accept the Torah, we still said Na'aseh v'nishma. We still went ahead and accepted it willingly as if, we were accepting it of our own volition, even though in reality we were already committed before we even knew what Torah was. V'zeh she'efshehu gam adavar shechatzi adam shezark Moshe Avinu ala mizbeach, kodem shanu na'aseh v'nishma, nechta v'chatzi adam shezark ala am, la'achar shanu na'aseh v'nishma k'siv. So he quotes over here also this idea of the blood offering that Moshe Rabbeinu sprinkled on the Mizbeach. We'll skip to the last paragraph. Ulefia ne'amar le'el, kevan shazvik alam krisas bris ha'isok Moshe Kasuf, hinei dam ha'bris asher karas ha'shayim bachem, hinu shakodish baruch hu niskasha bekrisas bris beinim yu yisrael zakoim, v'yirtzu hu yisbarach lo she'inu, bein chas v'chalila lo, tamid ho yoshe'inu, ki ana'ase v'nishma ala kiyum hoya, va'alakiyum yesh lanu tshuva shalmodo'a rabba. So this is amazing. So the idea over here is Na'aseh v'nishma really goes on the kiyum. The Kabbalah, the acceptance of Torah, was to a certain degree already, as we said before, the fait accompli. The only shaila is Klal Yisrael going to live up to the expectations or not? And what do we say? Ribono Shel Olam, even though you're giving us this Torah under duress, historical duress, as well as mountain duress, we still agree to honor our commitment to you. We still commit ourselves to you. And the Ribono Shel Olam enters into a reciprocal agreement with Klal Yisrael. Just like ultimately, again, you agreed to honor my Torah under duress, meaning even though you didn't have full free choice, even though you didn't have full bechira, you agree, even though the circumstances are not optimal, you agree to commit to me. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Even when your circumstances are not optimal, I agree to commit to you. That even when you're not deserving, even when you're not righteous, even at the end of the day when you don't deserve my attention, affection, or brachos or blessings, I will still give it to you. Lachin, as gam Hashem karas habris lo she'inu v'agam anachnu. So again, so therefore the Rebbe says there's a reciprocal agreement. We committed ourselves even though this whole thing was being under duress. And even though again the Kabbalah was already a fait accompli, the Kiyum was under duress, but we still committed to do it. No matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're committed to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the reciprocal agreement. Because you unwaveringly committed yourself to me, even though the circumstances were not optimal, I commit myself to you even when your circumstances are not optimal. Even when you're not optimal, I am still committed to you. And therefore the Rebbe says, Lochin gam az Hashem karas habris lo she'inu, v'gam anachnu. The Rebbe says the same applies to us. Bein shkishiniyem kusharim, bein cheshetiyah lanu tshuva, tamid na'avod es Hashem. And the Rebbe ends off with such a dramatically beautiful message. And his message being that we see that at the end of the day, the job of the Jew, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu got me under duress, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu got me of my own volition, commitment is commitment is commitment. We are Ovdei Hashem. We are servants of the Ribono Shel Olam. No matter what else is happening, do I have tainus? Do I have complaints? Do I have legitimate concerns? Do I even have perhaps good answers that should exempt me from my Avodas Hashem? Maybe the answer is yes. The truth is, at least for the Piagetzna, the circumstances he was dealing with, the answer was probably unequivocally yes. But at the end of the day, Na'aseh v'nishma means Ribono Shel Olam. Even though, again, I didn't have much of a choice, and even though there's historical and contemporary duress, I commit myself to you. I am yours. And the Rebbe uses this as a source of chizuk for his kehila as well. Even though our circumstances are so incredibly difficult and overwhelming, we commit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. The great power of Na'aseh v'nishma becomes even greater than we ever knew. Up until now, we always assumed that the power of Nasa v'Nishma was the idea of blind commitment, an ability to say, Ribono shel Olam, I will do whatever you want, even though I haven't read the fine print, even though I don't know what's going on. So the Rebbe says something even greater. That Nasa v'Nishma is saying, Ribono shel Olam, even though I realized that I didn't have much of a choice, and even though, again, the fact that you're making me accept this under duress gives me an out, I choose not to take the out. I choose to redouble my commitment. I choose ultimately again to bend my knee before you. I choose to give myself over to you. I choose to pledge my life ultimately again to actualize your Torah and your mitzvos. That's the power of Nasa v'Nishma. That was the power of our ancestors. The Rebbe tries to give that same chizuk ultimately again to those broken neshamas around him. And that's the same message we have to take. That even though again there may be times where I have an excuse, there may be times when I have an out, Na'aseh v'nishma means Ribono shel Olam, even when I have the excuse, even when I have the out, even when I have the legitimate Petor exemption, I'm committed to you. I'm not taking the shortcuts. I'm not taking the easy way out. My commitment to you is unequivocal and unwavering. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.